How do you like that music that James and Flex put on just now? I thought I was in like an 80s fitness video or something. All right, we are live.
That's absolutely that type of music.
All right. Expect people to do aerobics.
It's borderline like adult film vibes there too,
right? Yeah, it's a bit porno. Yeah, you're right.
A little bit porno. Man.
Do you remember we used to have that music that I would play whenever we ended up talking about anything like vaguely reminiscent of porn? It was like this terrible guitar music that would go.
Who sourced those sounds? Was that Tabor who came up with all that? Or did you find it and you just suggest?
Yeah, between me and Tabor, we would constantly be looking for like stupid noises of people going, oh, or, and then I'd play them during the news. You know, like there'd be a shooting, there'd be this serious news bulletin, and like Leanne would go, yeah, and someone was shot this morning in Rosettenville. And then I'd have like that sound of the bullet, and then someone going, oh, and it would be like Homer from The Simpsons, right? And it would be so not serious. Meanwhile, someone's been killed. And we're like making fun of it in the news. I think most people, they didn't listen because they wanted to get the news. They listened because they wanted to see how we messed with the news. And even with the sport that you used to do, it was like half the time you were trying really hard to do a professional sports job, and then we were just interrupting with bullshit the whole way through.
Thanks, James.
I don't even know how you kept your cool. Oh, by the way, is coffee still such a big deal to you, dude?
It is. I've stopped making Ginger Fox. We're not roasting anymore, but James just brought me a good cup of coffee. So let's see what happens. If it's any.
Just try it before you say a good cup of coffee. Because
I'll try it and see.
Just see. That's the live taste testing with CS. It's
fucking Holy horrible, mother of God, that is so hot. Wow. I think I just scalded my mouth. Thanks, James, for the warning.
Good Lord. Oh, man. Okay, but you used to be an aficionado. This is something else that you cottoned on to very early on. Very early on.
Yeah, look.
You started
out of necessity.
Well, because you had to drive distances and wake up super early.
Exactly that.
Look,
the coffee thing, there's a whole different world there. And shout out to those people who roast their own beans and meet out their own, you know, weigh their grind. And, you know, that's a whole art. Respect to them. I don't have time for that anymore. I'm more of a pod guy now. And I know that's sacrilegious to say to many coffee snobs, but that's where my life is right now.
So a lot of people in the comments section are saying we should name this rain spider on my roof. I didn't see him last night, so I'm hoping he's not gone. I always wonder, how do these things get in and how do they get out? Because I didn't have any windows on. That's what worries me. So I don't mind. I'm not frightened of spiders, and I don't mind if he's in the room. But I don't know if I want him falling off the roof onto my face while I'm sleeping at night. That wouldn't be so cool.
No.
And I think I want to name him, but I'm scared that he's already just been a temporary resident. So we name him because I used to have a rabbit that lived. It was kind of like you'd call it a feral rabbit. But obviously what happened was someone in this estate that I live in obviously had rabbits, and then they reproduced and they went wild on the estate. And then one of them ended up in my garden. And it was this very sweet little rabbit used to bounce around, and my dog at that stage didn't really have a problem with this rabbit, so it was safe in my sort of garden. And then I'm sure a bird of prey or something got this rabbit, because suddenly it just wasn't there anymore. And we'd named it.
We talked
about it on the show. This thing didn't last long at all. And even though we'd gone to the, I had a whole story that was starting to develop. It was becoming friends with the dog, and you know, and people would come here, they'd say, "Where's the rabbit?" And then suddenly one day it was gone. I think like a hawk or something just picked that thing up and just fucking ate it.
What a terrible way to go. Snatched by a hawk.
Shocking. Do you know that on Saturday night I heard jackals? You know, like, oh, you know, you get the, yeah. They make that very. I heard fucking jackals. And I thought, can a jackal eat a little spaniel like my dog? That's the first thing I thought of, because these things are, they're like right here. And I like the idea of having jackals. I like the idea of having wild animals around. It's nice, you know. Mm. It makes it feel like you actually live in Africa. You're not in some like American golf course or whatever. But I don't know if these things, if I want them to come any closer. Do you know what I mean?
That's crazy, man. I didn't even realize, you know, in your state you had jackal running around there. What else is running around? I mean, you got, wow. I see, is it Sugar Chabalala said Rabobi could be a good name for your
That's your a good one spider. For the spider. Oh, we've got rain spiders. I've got kingfishers. I've got jackals. We've got, it's like a menagerie over here. I like it, though. I mean, I'd rather have these. Yeah, it is pretty cool. I just didn't know until very recently that there were jackals. I think that they've kind of migrated in here because there's a big piece of open felt kind of right next to us. And I think that they just cross over and they've obviously found a hole in the fence or something. But it's nice. I don't have an issue with that. As long as they don't eat me. Well, as long as they don't eat my dog, I'm happy with it. But I was standing outside. I was looking out at the garden, and this again, a bird of prey flew down and grabbed a guinea fowl in front of me. I saw the kill happen. Like, you know how people pay to go to the Kruger Park for like weeks in a row to see a lion kill or a cheetah kill or a leopard. And it's even rarer to see a bird of prey catch something. And I thought,
wild.
How lucky am I? Right in front of my house, dude. It was like a sparrow hawk or something. It picked up this guinea fowl. And the thing, it came so quickly. There was just this puff of feathers, and then it flies off with this thing in its talons. It's quite something to see.
You need to narrate that Sir David Attenborough style. You know,
I know.
It swoops. Just happens so fast.
The bird of prey makes its final attempt at taking the guinea fowl in its terrible talons. You know, something like that.
Something like that.
I wanted to tell you something. There are a couple of clips here. James, have you got that clip of this morning? I got this from somebody before I started the show. I think it's in Parliament or it's in the Cape Town City Council. I can't work out how. So the DA are in charge here. That's why I'm not sure. I think the speaker, it could be the deputy speaker or whatever. Looks like it's in Parliament. And then an EFF person who's clearly like very, very low IQ. This person goes, there's a building that's collapsed. And will you save us from the DA in this terrible municipality where the buildings collapse? Anyway, she says something really dumb. And then the speaker comes back with just the most brilliant answer. And I thought, this is what I've missed. You always look at the British Parliament or whatever, and you hear these witty responses to things. And I want you to see this, and it's just so funny and really makes an absolute joke of the already ridiculous EFF. I don't know how many people are left in the EFF. I think it's Julius, it's this woman, and it's Carl Niehaus. I think that's all they've got right now. So here they are.
Surplus of berets, right?
Yeah, take a look at this.
Deputy Speaker, we're asking you to find out. This is a very important matter. Here in Cape Town, a building collapsed and people died. So this Cape Town has got a history of collapse of buildings, of structures. So please protect us. We want to die a revolutionary death, not this death of the DA-led municipality killing us. That's not revolutionary. Please, Deputy Speaker, go and find out who's that structural engineer. We want to know. Thank you.
Honourable Matwe, yes, I will find out and we'll make sure that you die a revolutionary death. Honourable members, I proceed. Order, members.
I mean, you can even see all the officiaries sitting in front of her. So it's the deputy speaker. That's who it was. So all the people sitting in front of her are like, as she says it. It's hilarious.
Wow.
I just love that. It's almost like you're asking for it, right?
It's like that macaroni pasta thing. Remember with the Doom, and they used to make them eat the grass and all sorts of things. Remember that sound clip?
It was a it's church. Nice.
It's like macaroni pasta. I remember that. Right. It was a church, right? No, it wasn't the Doom guy. No.
No. It was a guy, a pastor who ran one of these like fly by night pop up churches, and he was making the people get down on their hands and knees and chew lawn. And then they interviewed the one congregant who said, "Oh, it's very nice. It's like a macaroni pasta."
That's right. There's no place like South Africa, hey? There is no place like South Africa.
Well, I mean, there's some stupid shit going on in New Zealand at the moment. Raven, in the comments section, Raven says, have you seen the video of the Maori party ripping up the treaty bill in Parliament here in New Zealand and starting the haka? Now the whole country is protesting again. So I have seen this. I've actually been paying attention to this, which I normally wouldn't. And I sent James two clips yesterday of like the craziness that's happening in New Zealand. James, there's one longer clip and one shorter one. Let's start with the longer one because it's had the effect. What's going on there is obviously the whites in New Zealand are so terrified of being called racist that they just are kowtowing left, right, and center to some stupid nonsense from the Maoris, who now they even, you're now meant to pronounce it Maori or something. You'll hear it in the news report that I've got here. So they're now even trying to sound like they, you know, they have to show deference to everything. That, by the way, the Maoris have the highest incidence of domestic abuse in the world. Okay. The Maori population in the South Pacific, including New Zealand, highest incidence of domestic violence in the world. They come from a line of ancestors who used to cannibalize people. They used to eat people. They used to cut off their heads and use their heads as trading currency. And these are going to be the people that we now have to, if you're in New Zealand, you have to now show due deference to, and you have to apologize for the land that you've taken from these people who are like essentially they managed to cross from island to island on little shitty canoes, and now what, we must treat them as if they've discovered the cure to cancer. Watch this news report and listen to how it's become impossible to even understand what is being said in a New Zealand news report because they're using words that are not English. Take a listen.
Let's compare the current main three principles with the bill before Parliament. On partnership, the treaty created a relationship between Māori and the Crown, and both parties must act with the utmost good faith. The new principle one states the government has full power to govern and Parliament has the full power to make laws in the best interests of everyone. Principle three addresses protection. The existing understanding is that the government prioritises the active protection of Māori interests, rights, taonga and rangatiratanga. The new proposed principle three states...
It's rangatinga tinga tonga.
I don't know, but it sounds ridiculous. And first of all, I mean, I don't know, but the New Zealand accent already is the worst accent in the world, right? It's like, it's so shit. It's like a person who's been hit in the head with a 2x4 speaking with an Australian accent. they pronounce their I's like people from KwaZulu-Natal. You know, when you meet someone from Durban, they say, I'm going to drink some milk and I'm going to eat some fish and I'm going to go and stay at the Hilton Hotel. So they've got that weird thing going on. I mean, could they find an uglier news presenter, second of all? So the accent, the news presenter, and then they're using these Maori. I don't know how they say it now because you can't say Maori anymore. Now they have to say it like that. And then they use Maori words. Hunga, tonga, tinga, songa. I mean, what the fuck is that?
I'd love There's to know. More. If anyone There's put more. In the comments, that would be great.
All right. Try to just hold your laughter in until the end of this clip. Just listen to this one, second one.
One of the major concerns from opponents of the bill is the absence of any mention of tinoranga tiritanga, that loosely translates to Māori autonomy. The bill proposes to take those principles to a referendum.
Did you hear that word?
And she straight-faced it. Good on her.
One of the major concerns from opponents of the bill is the absence of any mention of tinoranga tiritanga, that loosely translates to Māori autonomy. The bill proposes to take those principles to a referendum.
Tinoranga tiritanga. I mean, what the fuck is this word? This language is obviously invented by five-year-olds. It's just unbelievable. Right?
Wow, I'm glad I don't live in New Zealand.
This is supposedly a serious country, right? Like, this is a first world country. Can you imagine being a South African who left South Africa to go, well, I'm getting out of this place. This is cock. I'm leaving South Africa. I'm going to go to New Zealand. At least they're smart and sensible people there. They don't fuck around like you South Africans do with all your cock. You get there and your kid comes back from school and goes, you know, Dad, always thinking about how great Toritara Tingatanga Tingatanga is. You're like, what? I thought I was sending you to school. Did someone put fucking weed in your lunchbox? What happened to you? Right?
Oh, wow. Cool.
I'm getting so sick of people pretending to be deferential. When we all should just mock this kind of stupidity for the stupidity that it is. I mean, don't tell me that I need to be lectured to by a bunch of liberals and usually white liberal women who want me to feel bad about something I wasn't there for, I had nothing to do with, and a language and culture that is patently shit compared to any other. And I must now be all deferential. I must, you know, pretend that this is advanced and brilliant and culturally significant. I mean, these words don't even sound, they sound like they were made up by someone who's drunk. You know how when you bump into somebody at a braai and they're like, they've had 15 drinks too many and they're like, that's what it sounds like. Stupid people, really. Unbelievable.
All right, take a look at this again, please.
Yeah. It's worth it.
One of the major concerns from opponents of the bill is the absence of any mention of tinoranga tiritanga, that loosely translates to Māori autonomy. The bill proposes to take those principles to a referendum.
Oh, wow.
I want to see it written out. Right?
ChatGPT, what does it mean?
Oh, it's just unbelievable. Poor Australia being dragged into this cuck just by association, says Bitcoin Boy. Yeah, look, the haka, frankly, I mean, I don't think anyone in the world is really truly intimidated by the haka. I mean, we've now seen it so many times, it's just ridiculous. But they're now doing it, and you'll know this, yes, because you cover sport. They now do the haka at everything. They do it at like darts championships. You got the guy going, ah, kumate, kumate, kora, kora. He's doing it in front of the fucking dartboard when the other dart guy is like fat and from Britain and he's like, oh, have another punt, gov. You know, give me another point there, gov. Oh, and meanwhile, the guy's doing his haka in the background like it's some sort of religious and spiritual experience. What a lot of cuck. Seriously. Pure entertainment for morons. So I've been growing vegetables. Yes, I'm very proud of myself. I planted a vegetable garden. Yeah. I thought I was doing very well.
Living and off again, the land.
I'm going to try. I've got great, like I will admit, terrific lettuces, amazing basil and parsley and celery and carrots. We'll get to in a second. I've got mint. Lots of really, really good mint. I've got cucumbers, although I haven't grown any. The plants are coming along. The cucumbers haven't shown themselves yet. Tomatoes, little cherry tomatoes. So yesterday, I'm so so proud of myself. I go into my garden yesterday and the carrots like this high out of the ground, you know, the leaves of the carrots this high. And I'm like, wow, yeah, that's like 30-40 centimeters of that carrot must be fucking enormous. So excited.
That's a large carrot.
So I think, let me harvest one of these motherfuckers. I'm going to just check it out. So I go and I pull this carrot out of the ground thinking I'm going to end up with this. I'm never going to be able to eat this thing. It's going to be too big. Look at the disgrace that comes out of the ground. Look at this pathetic, unspeakably small, stupid looking carrot that I pulled out of the ground. Look at this thing.
Is that even a carrot?
That's the whole thing. I kid you not. I didn't cut anything off. And it's all twisted and mangled and deformed. I was so disappointed. I didn't even know what to say. I'm like, oh, God, you know, talk about keeping you humble.
Yeah, maybe green fingers, you know, is not your thing, Gareth. Yeah.
Well, listen, everything else is fine, so I'll take my chances. All right. I found this, too, while we're going through these things. Oh, Carl says this happens to me when women see my penis because I'm overly confident. Nice.
They grow and not a shower.
You know what you call that? Taratara tinga tonga.
There we go.
So according to – what is this that said this? This is according to a survey that they did online, which always these things are a bit dodgy, right? But it's worth looking at. These are the most attractive male hobbies according to women. So in other words, if you're a guy and you have these hobbies, then women will be more attracted to you. So what do you think – before we even show you the graph, what do you think – are the kinds of hobbies that women might find very attractive in a man? Vegetable gardening. Vegetable gardening. Come on. Give me a, you know.
Up there. I think top five. Top five.
All right. So you say woodwork is one? All right. Maybe that's on the list. We'll find out in a second.
Yeah, well, woodwork. Sort of thing, right?
Woodwork is there. Gardening is there. But take a look at what the most attractive, supposedly, like 98.2% of women say that the most attractive hobby is reading. That's the top one. So women appreciate a man who reads, which is why I always have books on the shelf behind me, even though I haven't read any of these books in at least 10 years. They're purely for decoration. I am kidding. I have read one or two, but just one or two. The next biggest category is foreign languages. So apparently girls find it really attractive when a guy can speak a foreign language.
He's very good.
Playing an instrument is the next one. So if you are a violinist or a pianist or a guitarist or something, I mean, basically, you know, you can hold a melody, you can play something. That they like that a lot, so playing an instrument. I'm not surprised by that one. Are you?
No, not at all. I'm just thinking of some guys watching now, listening, going, if I have a learn to speak Italian book in my hand, a guitar over my shoulder, just to try, right? Like, I can't lose. I'm about to score, you know.
Spot on. So after reading, a little bit of sawdust. So after reading and foreign languages and playing an instrument, the next most popular one is cooking. You can understand that.
Absolutely.
Then we get to woodworking, which is one you guessed from the get-go. So apparently, 94% of women asked said they think woodworking is a sexy hobby for a guy to have. So that's very cool. And then there's painting, writing, then gardening, swimming, photography, astronomy, hiking, archery. This one took me completely by surprise. Blacksmithing. So in other words, if you can actually work with metal like a blacksmith of old, you can like forge shit on your anvil, you know, in your blacksmithy, then clearly that's sexy as hell. And then the last one on this list is traveling, which isn't really a hobby. I mean, traveling is like it's a recreational pursuit. I wouldn't say it's a hobby.
No, I wouldn't say it's a hobby.
So there we go. That's Eleanor says, Te Wiri Tonga Tanga. Yeah, it's exactly what I was going to say. I can't believe that's a real language. I mean, really, unbelievable. So somebody here says bird watching. Raven says, bullshit, what about bird watching? Do you think women find that attractive?
No, not at all. That's going to be your sort of main draw card. I don't think it's going to go well for you.
No. Slippery Pickle says, where's cunnilingus on this list? Oh, you may well ask. I can speak, says Sebastian. Sebastian says, I can speak and read French. No wonder my girlfriend is so hot and I'm average. Also 15 years older. Wow.
Good for you, bud.
All right. Nice job there, Sebastian. No need to come onto the comment section and embarrass the rest of us for not being as good. Then speak New Zealand English, says Sugar Chabalala, and you'll be very popular with the ladies. Is blacksmithing when you slap Will Smith for hitting Chris Rock? Probably.
Very sharp my wife, this morning.
Hubba says, my wife bries in the rain, which is sexy as hell. Okay, well, you've got a very that weird kink, but okay, go for it. You know, that's gonna work very well. All right, I want us to quickly talk to somebody because you talk about hobbies. So you get all these people who they say they're gonna go for a run or they're gonna go for a walk or they go for a bicycle ride or whatever. And I went very hard on bicyclists on Monday because, as you know, I just love people who ride bicycles. They're my absolute favorite. By the way, CS, I saw a dude yesterday, not a word of a lie, driving an Audi A3.
Yeah.
In the driver's seat, no passengers, with a whole lot of shit on his back window, and he was wearing a cycling helmet in the car.
No way.
Yes. I drove up alongside him.
How would you explain that?
I saw it, and I thought, I've got to see this again. You know how in traffic it becomes a game? Now you need to get next to him again so you could see if he actually saw what you saw. And this stupid idiot had a bicycle cyclist helmet. Do you know the one with the little holes in it? And the only reason you would wear that inside your car is if you're actually brain damaged and you can't afford anything to go wrong. Like you basically shouldn't even be driving a car because you're probably fragile as hell. It's like his skull must be paper thin. He must have like an eggshell for a skull. No other way. Why would someone be wearing that?
And there's more effective helmets to wear to protect your head if you do have a brain, you know, that's susceptible. But
in the car, no. Let me tell you something. I don't even know people who wear a hat in the car. They want to take the hat off when they get into the car because, I mean, unless you're driving like a Quantum where you've got loads and loads of headspace, most cars have pretty low ceilings. And if you're wearing a hat and your seat is up high, it's going to be rubbing against the ceiling the whole time. Why would you wear a biker's helmet in the car?
You should have wound down your window and asked him, oi, what's going on here?
Dude. Honestly, somebody, Carl, wants to know, what was CS's song? Mabali's was that Touch Mabali one. Can't remember CS's. Did you have a song?
There was the guys from, was it Lone Hill Estate that did the Ginger, something like that?
Yeah, I remember that.
I think it was that one. Yeah. It's somewhere floating around.
I must find it and send it to you. I'm sure I've got it.
Shout out all right to Grant Cruiser there for the Newcastle United group. I had to actually answer some serious questions to get into that group. I've finally been accepted.
Tell me about this.
So there's a very active Newcastle United group, and it's South African fans of Newcastle United. And I've always obviously supported Newcastle United, even through thick and thin. And I was invited to join the group by Phil. And Phil's like, listen, it's quite tough to get in. And I was like, oh, you know, how can I be a Newcastle United fan and not be part of this group? And all of a sudden, I was added to the group and I had to prove my loyalty before whatever it was, the takeover that happened at Newcastle, and answer these questions. And Grant is obviously the super admin on this group, and he gave me the toughest, like, these are players that played like 1 minute for Newcastle United back in the 80s type thing, and I had to answer these questions, but we passed. So I'm part of the group.
As soon as you started answering my question, I realized I was so stupid to ask. Like, I wish I'd never asked that question. That is about a minute and a half of my life. I'll never get now. Oh,
anyway,
Jesus, why don't you and Grant go and enjoy your Newcastle group, and let's never talk about this again, shall we? Oh, okay.
Thanks, Grant.
So Carl the Santa says, no, it was See Us in the Club by Nelly Furtado. That was it. Was See Us in the Club.
The group is apparently the song, You're the Piano Man.
Yeah, See Us the Song, You're the Piano Man. Slippery Pickle says that your group has swelled to a whole 51 people. Is that true?
Exactly. It's actually 55 now.
Damn, dude. All right. Okay, so I want us to talk to Thabo Sepuma, who is the fundraising and donor relations boss there at the Nelson Mandela Foundation, because they are celebrating on Sunday, the 8th of December. No matter where you are in the world, you could participate in a virtual Mandela Remembrance Walk and Run. So this unique event allows you to honor Madiba's life and values in a meaningful way, no matter where in the world you are, and find out all about this thing. Because, I mean, if people are wearing cycling helmets in their cars, then maybe this is a better option for them. They don't have to actually leave their city. They don't have to leave their garden if they don't want to. You can just join in this thing virtually and nobody gets hurt. let's just do whatever we can where nobody gets hurt. All right, so we're gonna get Thabo on the line, because apparently this is a way that they want to get these people who do these walks and runs anyway to join in it, and then they can raise some money and some awareness, which I think is a pretty good idea. I mean, anything that you're not just thinking about yourself is probably a good idea. You know, you talk about mental health earlier. People who are the healthiest that I can think of mentally are the people who are not constantly thinking about themselves. They're actually living in the real world. So, does Grasa Michelle still get half of all the donations, says Carl? No, I don't think she ever did. Slippery Pickle says, the best way to remember Mandela is quarrying limestone on an island. Spread the word. That's unbelievable. Jesus, this comment section's unruly. Wow. Unbelievable. You guys are out of control. All right, is Thabo on the line, guys? There he is.
Hey, all right. Good morning, Gareth.
How are you, Thabo Sepuma? Nice to see you, dude.
Lovely to see you. Where's your helmet?
Oh, my God. Did you hear that? I promise you, this guy was driving next to me, and I thought I was seeing things. All right, so there are people all over the world who want to do stuff. They want to do stuff together. We all learned this during 2020. Like, you can connect with anybody, anywhere, doing anything. Yeah. But I think it's quite ambitious that you guys want to do a walk or run on the Sunday, the 8th?
The 8th of December.
Yeah. How did this idea come about, and how are you going to make sure that people are actually doing the running and walking?
No, thanks, Gareth. We've been doing this walk and run, the physical event, since Madiba's passing. So when COVID kicks in, you know, we had to find an innovative ways to continue to get people getting involved and staying active. That's where the virtual run came about. So the 8th of December, it's both physical and virtual. For those that aren't able to join us at Union Building, I hope you'll join us. Please don't bring your helmet with you, Gareth. At the Union Building, they can do 5 kilometer, 10 kilometer, 21. Those who can't, they can, join virtually. So they go to FundNation / Nelson Mandela, and they join. And after they participated, they get a recognition of some form of certification as a part of a token from us to say thank you for joining. So you can run within your own community that you are in, take pictures, tag us. And encourage your neighbors or your family to join in. So we're trying to accommodate as many people, including your friend who is wearing the helmet while driving. He can join in his yard with his helmet, you know. Or...
I like this. So first of all, I mean, it's a good idea for anybody to get up and move around a little bit, right? I mean, we have a nation in South Africa. We got a lot of very unhealthy people. They eat terrible food. They don't do enough exercise. We need to worry about these people because ultimately they're not going to be healthy for very long if they don't move around a bit. So there are also, because this is such an interesting and diverse country, also lots and lots of runners. I see these people every weekend. I see them sometimes early in the morning when I go through to the show at like 5 a.m. running down the street. I prefer that than knowing that people are tucked in bed being lazy. But how do you actually make money out of this? I mean, are you asking people to donate in order to enter, or is entering free and you get the certificate anyway, but you encourage people to make a donation? How does the money part of it work?
Absolutely. So for the physical one, there's an entry fee. For your 5 kilometers, R100. For 10 kilometer, 150, and for 21 is 200. So for the virtual ones, we encourage people to donate whatever that they are able to donate. So that money goes back to the Nelson Mandela Foundation for us to continue to do our work around social justice, early childhood development programs. And the issues around the land reform and leadership development in particular, where we're looking at doing leadership development to capacitate our state. As we are going through a number of challenges to have the right leaders or the right people in the state who have the right intention. So for anyone who goes and join the virtual, we're encouraging them to say, please contribute whatever that you are able to afford. That mm-hmm. money will go towards the foundation, and we are happy to even report to you if you want to find out how does the money work, and all that, and provide the reports.
I like the I like two of the things that you mentioned there. You can talk me through the other ones because I'm not. Like, they put me off completely. But the two I like, early childhood development, because we know this is a very serious thing in South Africa. There are loads and loads of kids, and CS knows I care about this too. There are lots of kids in South Africa who, are born and for various reasons, some of them circumstantial, some of them much more serious and having to do with resources and the parents not being there or parents not having enough of anything to be able to provide for those kids. If you don't get the kind of nutrition and the kind of stimulation that you need as a very, very young child, we're talking like 3, 4, 5 years old.
Yeah.
Your brain effectively, the hardware of your brain just never develops properly. And then after that, it doesn't matter what software you try to upload. It's always going to be a disaster. We need to get our kids well fed and with proper nutrition, with all the various things that they need. And there are early childhood development centers all over South Africa that are trying their level best. I know that the first lady, Dr. Tsepo Motsepe, is very involved in this stuff too.
Correct.
And that's very important. I love that. I think that's great. Then you mentioned social justice. I'm like, we know what that means. It's all that left-wing shit that you hear about in America. If you're going to spend any money on that, you can have half my money. And then you mentioned like leadership development, which I think is very, very interesting because obviously this is trying to bring our political leadership and our social leadership up to a standard where they can effect more positive change. They can actually bring about good things in communities, at municipal level, at provincial level, at national level, wherever they find themselves. I'm all in favor of that. And what was the other one you said?
The other one, it's also we've got a program on trying to get kids to encouraging kids to read, making reading fun for kids, where we bring kids at the foundation. where like we read some of the of the books, really trying to improve the literacy across the country with our kids. So, and I find it more fun and exciting, that one, you know, spending some time with the kids, reading books with them, interacting with them, questioning. And we're taking some of the cartoon books about Nelson Mandela, his leadership, and just hearing kids interrogating some of you know, those thinking of Madiba and his peers at the time. And I think for me, it's quite really interesting, because now you're building a nation that is interested in the social economy or social surrounding of their own country, questioning things. And that way, it helps to build a responsible community or responsible citizen who's interested in the in their own surroundings, you know. So that's one of the programs that we have. And the Early Childhood Development, I think I got to share with you one of the unfortunate things. We've got so many early childhood development centers in South Africa, but majority of them, in particular in the disadvantaged community, some of them are not registered. And these are not registered because there is criteria for an early childhood development center to be to meet the basic requirement of government to be registered. For example, one of them to have a proper brick and mortar building, as an example. And in some of the townships, you don't have those. So we get involved to try to really assist those early childhood centers to able to be registered with government, because once they get registered, they're able to get a subsidy. That means then the kids will able to have a proper nutritional meal, but also the early childhood center teacher able to get further development education that government provide. And that helps our kids to get a really proper education at the early stage. So that's one of the work that we do in the community to really help and be the bridge and assist government where they're struggling to find this early childhood center to register and go through all the paperwork that is required so that they get registered on the database. And we all know where they are, because we must know which center it's operating, where and how many kids, in case anything happens.
I think that's a very, very good cause. Is there a website we can go to for more info on this? And if we want to actually join the event at the Union Buildings, you've probably got all of that somewhere. What's the quickest way for people to find out?
The quickest way to find out, they go to MandelaWalkAndRun.com. They'll get all the information about the race, and they're able to join us. For those who are unable to come in Pretoria, they can go to FundNation / Nelson Mandela, and they're able to join there virtually and be part of the event. And Gareth, please get out of that seat and join us on the 8th.
All right.
Please, come on. Don't be a lazy,
No pressure. So Tabo, one last thing. your surname is Sepuma. Are you related to Judith?
Yes. That's my sister. Yeah.
That is a talented family, man.
Absolutely. I remember when you're still at that radio station that you ran away from, and you wanted to interview Judith, your team will go through me. I used to manage her.
Okay.
But I can't sing. I can't sing to save my life. Don't ask me to sing.
We all have strengths and some of us weaknesses. I will quickly tell you that once I took part in a 3-kilometer, it was a race, it was a run. Against just women, and I came 12th, which is terrible. So I'm not good at, and I almost died. I ran out of breath. It was a disaster.
Oh man!
But I can walk, Tabo. So listen, thanks for joining us, and please give Judith our love, and please keep doing good
work
at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. People can go and find out more at those websites that he's already given us. Have an awesome day, Tabo. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gareth, and enjoy your day.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. All right, so we're going to wrap it up with CS this morning on the Gareth Cliff Show. But before we go, I see a lot of people commenting on JJ Cornish, who, of course, has been a part of our show on the podcast party for a long time. We've been talking to him on Africanalysis regularly. And JJ, of course, died last week, Wednesday, quite suddenly. Sent his wife, Elaine, a message just 2 days ago. And there's a memorial service for him in Pretoria on Thursday. But it's always sad when you lose someone like that, who especially stood up for African stories and really was one of our best reporters when it came to knowing and finding out what was going on all over Africa. So obviously we're very, very sad and upset about that. And I did record a little tribute to him, which we did on Monday. And you'll probably find that on the internet too. So thank you very much, CS. Nice to see you, dude. And I'm really sorry I'm not there with you in studio this morning. I'll make it up to you. We'll go for a proper coffee sometime. Let me know when you're around.
I look forward to it. I look forward to it. And yeah, I don't know what James has been doing here since in your absence. It just, you know, I'm not sure what's going on. Gareth, you need to
He's probably been milling around with his arms at tit height, pretending he's important. Unbelievable.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, man. Keep up the great work, GC. It's good to catch up with you again.
Have an awesome Wednesday, everybody. We will see you on Friday morning, bright and early. Be good. If you're not, take photos. Check you later. Bye.